is in a pretty significant crisis right now. When you see troops, lots of troops being moved from the United States into Iran, only God knows what the future holds. And that's why we're trusting Him. We're going to Him. And as Matt mentioned a moment ago, over 100,000 people, most of whom have been executed because of the rebellion, but the rebellion is because they're just simply saying we don't want to be under that kind of regime. But a lot of it's because there is a Christian movement happening in Iran that is amazing. It's something that only God can be doing. And so we do want to celebrate that part too. I wish that what's happening in Canada would push a revival across our nation. But it seems like many people have no desire for the things of God. And as we prepare for communion or for the Lord's Supper today, I think God prepared my heart a couple of weeks ago when I knew I was going to preach here with a message to prepare us for communion. The title today will simply be Prayer That Pleases Our God. And before we go into the message, I want you to pray with me again. Father, we bow before you. We do so with a sense of deep, deep gratitude for the opportunity today to be called Christian because of what you've done for us. Lord Jesus, we're asking that your Spirit would clear our minds, open our hearts, open our understanding to understand your word. God, and then later as we participate together in communion in this Lord's Supper, remembering the Last Supper you had, God, may it be more than just a ritual. May it come from the deep recesses of our heart that we reverence and worship you for the tremendous sacrifice that you paid that I might be set free and that we might be free. And that this church might know and understand how good you've been to us. So Lord, lead and guide in these next few minutes. We surrender to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tierra, there was a clock back there somewhere. Is it gone now? Or is it just covered up?
No, it's gone.
So, when I get about 15 minutes to 12, you go like this.
Yeah.
And I'll start winding down. That probably won't mean a whole lot, but it's good for you to participate with me. And then I will try to land the plane and get ready for the Lord's Supper. If you have your Bible, I'd ask you to follow along with me today. Again, the message, Prayer That Pleases Our God. I want to share that in three major points today. The first point will be, what must happen in a prayer that pleases God? I want to begin, if you'll turn with me, in Psalm 32, verse 5, in the New Living Translation. He says, finally, I confess all my sin to God and stop trying to hide my guilt. And I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Let me break that down, if I may, for you. The first part of it, when he says, finally, that usually is an indication that I've exhausted all other resources. I've tried every other way that I possibly could. And finally, I've decided that I probably need to confess all my sins. So he said, I did. I confessed all my sins to you. I always remember what one of my professors said. You don't need to pray. You don't need to tell God what's going on. He already knows. I believe that's true. But I believe he also says that I am to pray and I am to confess, which means I am in agreement, I am in alignment with what God already knows, and I accept that too. And when he said, I confessed all my sins, and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. Isn't that a beautiful statement? You know, who are you hiding it from? You know, I try to hide a few things from Brenda for Christmas. Boy, the one thing that I have to do is get the girls to help me, because she's not good at leaving it alone if she knows that guilt is for her. You know, from the time she was, I married her, she would get that thing and she'll shake it and listen to it and, you know, try to weigh it out. And so I get the girls to get something. This year, it was in a box about this big. And shove that thing right into the middle of the tree and leave it there. Here he says, I confessed all my sin and I stopped trying to hide my guilt. God, I know I'm guilty before you. Can you still admit and acknowledge that? Yes, I've been forgiven. My name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am a Christian. I've been born again. I have no doubt that my eternal security is in place. It's all intact. But I also think that sometimes we try to hide some of our guilt. One of the things that is a big deal right now in some of our evangelical churches, people really kick up if children anywhere under 12 years old make a public commitment to Jesus and ask to be baptized and become a part of the church. People are saying they don't know what they're doing. They're not old enough to understand. You know what I'm concluding? I think a lot of times some of those children maybe are more ready to be baptized and make a public commitment than some of us adults, because they don't exactly know how to hedge their guilt and hide their guilt. I remember, and I think I may have told you, I was baptizing a boy who was 9 years old in the church I pastored in Edmonton. And so his dad, he was a single parent dad. And so the dad brought him to my office and we talked, and you know, I did that a couple of times to make sure to the best of my ability, he knew what he was doing. He had made the right commitment. And then he wanted to see what it was going to be like to be baptized. So I walked with him up through the sanctuary, up to the baptistry, and got him on his chair and let him see over in there, you know, how much water was going to be in that and what I was going to do and how I was going to put him under and bring him back up. We're walking back toward the office. And bless his heart, the little guy in his the deepest sincerity that he had. He said, Pastor, about how long do you hold a person up? See, he was not hiding or hedging anything. He felt like the little boy that you've seen the picture where when he was going to be baptized and he waved out over the front to the people and they asked him after, why did you do that? Because he thought, when you're buried in baptism, you're in recognizing the death of Christ, this may be it for me too. So I want to wave at you just in case I don't come out of here alive. I think we as God's people, if I could use these terms, we need to come clean. We need to try to hide or cover any kind of guilt. We need to go ahead and confess all of our sins. And then he noticed that he said, I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. A deliberate, conscientious, determined statement. I will confess my rebellion. Now, was that for God's sake? No, not at all. It's for my sake. You know, Stan, I hope it's okay with you. I should have got permission, but it's always easier to get forgiveness than permission. Somebody walked in up there this morning there in Sunday school, and Stu was pretty sure that they were walking in with a chocolate cake. Did somebody carry a chocolate cake in up there earlier today? If you did, Stu said, if that's chocolate cake, just bring it up. And I'm sitting there, and I didn't say anything at the moment. But I thought, Stu, you and I are the last two guys in the building that need to tell them to bring on the chocolate cake. In a little while, I think the Spirit of God got a hold of Stu in light of the message, and Stu said, I guess I should maybe confess my guilt. He didn't say that. He just said, I'm the last one that should be talking about bringing on chocolate cake. I thought, you know, what a great example. Did I need to tell anybody I don't need chocolate cake? Do I need to tell anybody I'm a tad overweight? But I went ahead and said, did I reveal? This is what he said here. And what happened after he said, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. I love the result. You forgave me. And my guilt is gone. There is nothing better than the feeling that comes when you know if there's some odd against you, once it comes to the surface and it's dealt with, there is a freedom that is just such a blessing. And here he said, you forgave me, and my guilt is gone. How do you know that? How do you know that your sin is forgiven and your guilt is gone? It's because we trust what the Word of God says. He has said, if you do this, I'll do that. You do this, I'll do that. One of them is, you confess your sin, I'll forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. The second reference in Psalm 66 and verse 18 through 20. I have not confessed, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God did listen. He paid attention to my prayer. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfailing love from me. First part of that verse again says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Let me just ask you, don't raise your hand. Do you believe that verse to be true? Do you believe that verse to be true? Because it says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But we pray a lot of prayers, don't we? But I think this is a verse that we need to just really pay close attention to. And he said, if I haven't confessed the sin that's in my heart, why should I ever expect God to listen to me? And if you don't want God to listen to you, why waste your time or his? When you talk to God, it needs to be that we have confessed our sin. The result, God did listen. He said, I confess my sin and God listened. I still believe that to be true today. When he paid attention to my prayer, that is an intentional, deliberate act of all the 8 billion people in the world. When I pray, I do believe God listens to my prayer. I sense in my heart, I know in my heart, God heard my prayer. He doesn't always answer it the way I want him to, no. But I trust that he answers the way he knows best. Because I am fairly limited on how much I know about this afternoon or tomorrow. Praise God, who did not ignore my prayer. We prayed this morning, Matt, thank you for your prayer. And as we prayed this morning, we're just praying, oh God, listen to it. Be attentive to it. And he says, I won't ignore it. You know, there's people not only in Iran today, but across Canada and right here in Fairview, that we need God to not ignore these prayers, but we need him to act in his authority and his power. I often pray, and those of you who follow my weekly video, sometimes I will say, in fact, I quite often will say, that, Lord, I'm asking you today to make your answer so simple and so clear that a young child could not misunderstand what you're saying. I don't need God to answer in some answers that we need to be a rocket scientist. I need it so clear that a little child could hear. I love to hear my little five-year-old great-granddaughter pray. She doesn't know all of the great words and stuff yet. In fact, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about 10 days ago, her dad told me she woke up that morning and she was kind of halfway crying. And he said, "What's wrong?" She said, "Dad, I'm trying to pray this morning, but would you pray for me?" You know, isn't that the way it should be? God, I'm praying today, but I've got prayer requests that I need Matt to pray for today with us. And that wasn't just for Matt to voice some things. That's so that every one of us who are a Christian will hear that request and we'll take it to heart. And before we will be listened to, we got to confess our sin, we got to admit our guilt, and we got to say, "Lord, thank you. Praise God who did not ignore my prayer or withdraw his unfading love from me." You know, one of the beautiful things about confessing your sin, you know, sometimes we hate for people to find out certain details about us because they might not like us as good. This is so wonderful when he said, "I confess my sin, I admit all my guilt." Not only did he not ignore me, but notice that last part. He did not withdraw his unfading love for me. In fact, a confession of sin does not separate us from God. A confession of sin draws us into a tighter relationship with God. I want to add this verse because I did not get it to Tierra in time. In John chapter 9, verse 31, he says, "We know that God doesn't listen to sinners, but he is ready to hear those who worship him and do his will." Now you might say, "Well, that's sinless perfection before we ever heard." No, no. That simply means that there's an urge and a cry in my heart, "God, help me get to where I'm sinning less." You know, we say we're not sinless, but we're sinning less and less and less. It's not a desire in my heart. I want to be like Jesus Christ. I want to be sinless. And the way that happens is I sin less and less. And the second major point, how much time I got left? 1 minute? Well, we got to them on here. Attitude of prayer. The prayer. Thessalonians 5, 6 through 18. "Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." Here is the attitude of the prayer. Always be joyful. That's a bit of a challenge. Never stop praying. That means the green light is always on for the communication between God and me. Be thankful in all circumstances, not for all circumstances, but don't let anything take your joy away. Don't let it stop being thankful just because it's hard, the times are bad and hard. Why is that so important? Because that's God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. That we will always be joyful, that we'll never stop praying, and we'll be thankful in all circumstances. I don't think we should start critiquing other people's prayers. But I know in my life I have to watch, or a high percent of my praying is for myself, my family, and a few close friends. But he says, the last point, praying with an outreach focus. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. And boy, you got to bear with me on this one. This is where we are right now in Canada. "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Break that down quickly. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. We can't single people out. And I'm not encouraging to pray like the psalmist did in a few places. They're called pre-imprecatory psalms. And that's when the psalmist would pray, God, make those kids orphans. God, would you make that woman a widow? You know, that's pretty hard praying, isn't it? Take them out. But this says, we are to pray first of all for all people. You've heard me say, I love God and I love people. I love the Christians because they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. I love the lost people because they need to know Jesus. I need to be praying for them. I need to be lifting them up to God. But before I do that, to have any kind of power to be listened to, I got to confess my own sin. One sinner praying for another. But I'm going to try to introduce them to the one who forgave me of my sin. Ask God to help them. I don't know if you find that a challenge or not, but I do. To everyone you pray for, ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. Did you do that today yet? Pray for those kings and those who are in authority. I don't know any way to interpret that other than just like it said. It's hard, isn't it? You're to pray, I pray God speak to them, draw them to you. But notice the other parts you're saying, God help them, intercede on their behalf. And then he says, give thanks to them. Lord, I thank you for my prime minister. I thank you for those that are leading America. I thank you for those around the world in Iran and the heads over that country. How do we pray for that? I think God helps us to know how to pray after we've got our own pit emptied out. God, I confess my sin. I get rid of my guilt. I think then he can speak to us and help us know how we need to pray. The last verse before we continue is Mark 11:25. But when we're praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins. I don't know about you. You may not have a problem with one other person on this entire face of the earth. You're in deep love relationship with all of them. You don't have any grudges. You're not holding any hard feelings from anything that ever happened to you. I think this is one of the hardest messages for me that God ever made me preach, because it had to go right through me first. He tell you got to do what you're preaching. Have you heard me say lately? Practice what you preach, but better still, preach what you practice. Not practice what you're going to preach, but preach what you're practicing. I pray today as I bore my soul to the Lord. God, where am I at in this? As we get ready to celebrate the greatest sacrifice ever made for us, the death of Jesus Christ, we're going to remember that today.